and welcome into a Thursday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live to you this morning on Rumble and X. We will be streaming weekday mornings on our YouTube channel as well. However, having a couple issues with YouTube this morning, we'll get through it. Hoping all that will be resolved by tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for joining me on this Thursday morning. We have got a lot of news to get into this morning. We'll start off with some breaking news actually out of the Middle East. You probably heard and followed this yesterday. The situation unfolding, and it's been a long situation. You're looking at the conflict between Israel and Hamas, 67, 68 days since that began, all the way back on October the 7th of 2023. It's been an ongoing issue for quite some time. And it's, of course, been something that the Biden administration has found themselves in a whole bunch of controversy with. Giving Ukraine U.S. munitions to deal with this situation, giving Israel the supplies for this situation, tens of billions of dollars implemented over and over and over again without any realistic solution for this, except for a ceasefire. And would you look at this? Lo and behold, just a couple of days before President Trump is set to be sworn in as the 47th president of the United States, we learned yesterday about a ceasefire deal, which is how this was going to end the entire time. However, in the very early hours this morning, around 4 o'clock or so, when I got up to do my other shift on WBT, the Carolina Journal News Hour, I saw this headline pop up over at Fox News. Israel's Netanyahu delays Gaza ceasefire deal, accusing Hamas of trying to back out. Very interesting. This just yesterday, we heard that the ceasefire was on. Or I guess technically ceasefire would be, there would be no more firing, so the ceasefire would be on, the firing would be off. And with that, there's been this constant back and forth of will Gaza, Hamas, will they stand up to their side of the deal? And it's really been the issue the entire time, because you're dealing with a terrorist organization. You're not dealing with a nation state that when they say they're going to do something, they're going to do it. You're dealing with a group of fundamental terrorists. So to the surprise of none, it's probably pretty hard to negotiate with that group. I think that's a fair assessment of the situation. I don't think I'm saying anything too outlandish, too bombastic in regards to that. So, less than 24 hours after this is announced, it's now apparently off. Fox News has got the story this morning. They say Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday, that would be, of course, earlier this morning, has accused Hamas of backing out of a ceasefire deal to release hostages and bring a pause to more than a year of fighting in the Gaza Strip. Netanyahu's office said Thursday his cabinet won't meet to vote on the Gaza ceasefire deal until Hamas backs down from what it calls a, quote, last-minute crisis. Which, by the way, we don't know what that last-minute crisis is yet. I've been keeping an eye on social media throughout the morning to see what that is or what exactly that's in reference to, but that's not been described. Netanyahu's office accuses Hamas without elaboration of trying to go back on part of their agreement in an attempt to, quote, extort last-minute concessions. The Israeli war cabinet was set to ratify the deal today. And obviously, time zones very different. That's a good question. Let's head on over to the Google machine. What time is it in Israel this morning? So it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. So that's what's going on right now. They're in mid-afternoon at this point over in Israel. So that's obviously an issue. But and part of this ceasefire, of course, is ceasing the war, ceasing the back and forth fighting that's been going on. But part of this is, and something that the Biden administration has miserably failed with, has been the release of hostages. Many of those U.S. citizens, some of those living in the United States, happened to be over in Israel at the time and have been captured by this terrorist group for the last 468 days. And so part of this was the release of prisoners. And Carolina Journal's got the story this morning about Chapel Hill native Keith Samuel Siegel. He and his wife were captured as part of the 253 hostages that were taken by Hamas back on October the 7th, among that Keith and his wife, Aviva. She was held captive for 51 days before she was released. However, Keith has remained in captivity along with 100 other hostages. We'll come back to Keith and his wife's story in a second. But then I found this article, which was written by the Associated Press, and as I was reading through it, I saw something pretty interesting. This is part of the ceasefire deal. This was published yesterday around noon when the ceasefire deal was first announced. And you scroll down a couple of sentences, and it says this. Over 6 weeks, meaning once the deal is signed, which it appears that that's off. But it says this. Over 6 weeks, 33 of the nearly 100 hostages are to be reunited with their loved ones after months in captivity, with no contact with the outside world, though it's unclear if they are all alive. 33 out of nearly 100. Why is nobody talking about the rest of the hostages? Unless maybe I'm just completely misunderstanding what's going on here, which I will admit is a real possibility. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in negotiating with international terror groups for the release of hostages. But according to the Associated Press and their coverage, they say that 33 of these individuals are set to be released. So of the 33, how many of them are U.S. citizens? And what the hell is going to happen with the rest of them? That is not being discussed or seemingly is not being talked about anywhere. Going on with the AP story, it says, it remains unclear exactly when and how many displaced Palestinians would be able to return to their homes, blah, blah, back and forth with the agreement. More than 100 hostages were freed from Gaza in a week-long truce back in November of 2023. That included Keith's wife. So back to Keith Siegel. Native of Chapel Hill. President Joe Biden said this yesterday, quote, "Today, after many months of intensive diplomacy by the United States, along with Egypt, Qatar, Israel, and Hamas, have reached a ceasefire and hostage deal." Again, this is yesterday. "This deal will halt the fighting in Gaza, surge much-needed humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian citizens, and reunite the hostages with their families after more than 15 months in captivity." But what about the rest of the hostages? 33 hostages, according to Carolina Journal, as we talked about, will be released over a 42-day period, with three released on the first day, following weekly releases of hostages, according to Fox News. "Women, children, and men over 50 will be prioritized for initial release, meaning that 65-year-old Keith Siegel should be among the first." It could still be, you know, again, the deal apparently is off this morning. But if it magically comes back on, it's a little over 2:10 p.m. over in Israel right now. If it does get back on in the next couple of hours, could still be weeks for Keith Siegel. And again, what about the rest of the hostages? How have they determined? Are the 33 just women, children, and men over 50? Everybody else is, I guess, presumably a male under the age of 50. And is there just a shotgun release of them after this 42-day, 6-week period? It's very unclear. And so going back to the breaking news, the breaking story this morning, out of Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, when he says that Hamas is essentially trying to back out on part of the agreement, is it safe to assume that it's got something to do with the prisoner swap? I don't know. Your guess is unfortunately as good as mine. We heard yesterday from Joe Biden, Harris, Blinken, They talked about the deal. It's going to roll out in all these different phases. But again, all of this is predicated, and I think it's important to note this, all of this is predicated on the fact that a terrorist organization that flew paragliders into Israel on October the 7th of 2023 is going to hold up their end of the bargain. And that, I think, it's fair to say, it's fair to assume, it's fair to question whether that's actually going to happen. Whether that's actually going to come to fruition. There's a lot of questions about that, and there should be. Biden said this: the first phase will last 6 weeks, including a full and complete ceasefire, withdrawal of Israeli forces from all populated areas of Gaza, and then a release of a number of hostages held by Hamas, including women and elderly and the wounded. And I'm proud to say Americans will be part of the hostage release and phase one as well. Didn't say all Americans. I'll read it again. I'm proud to say Americans will be part of that hostage release. In exchange, Israel is going to release hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, according to the ceasefire agreement as it was written. So Israel's giving up a bunch of Palestinians, giving them back to the Hamas terror group. It's been operating in the Gaza Strip. And these 33 people, not all U.S. citizens, some, according to Joe Biden, will be released. The remaining of, this is what Fox is saying, the remainder of the hostages, some of which, including male soldiers, will be released in a second group that will be negotiated. So we have no idea. Some of them are male soldiers, presumably part of IDF or some sort of Israeli military group. And then the, I guess, bigger overarching question with all of this, and that point was referenced over in the, I think it was the Associated Press piece. We have to assume all these people are still alive. And that is a very real question and a very real possibility. I mean, the horrific conditions in all likelihood that these individuals were held in captive under. And so when you're doing this in these multiple phases, again, with a terrorist organization, what happens when not all of these individuals are alive? Or they're literally on death's bed? I don't say that to try and blow this story out of proportion or make this into something that it's not. But I think you have to seriously look at that and consider what the status of these individuals are. I mean, you remember the situation back, I don't even know how long ago this was, 5 years ago? You had that college student in North Korea. Was it, I don't remember his name, Arthur, started with a W. He was held captive. He was trying to steal some sign or some poster in North Korea, college student. And he was released. But he was released as a vegetable. He was, for all intents and purposes, his brain and heart were working a little bit. That was it. He was essentially brain dead. What is the status of these prisoners? What are these individuals going to look like? There's a lot that's unfolding with this. I wish I had some additional details for you this morning. It's just breaking now. I'm refreshing this Fox News article to see if there's any additional updates. It doesn't appear that that's the case. So as of right now, the ceasefire deal is off. It is out. And we're just going to have to wait to see if there is any additional information, any additional details that come forward as we continue to watch that over the next couple of days. And then if and when it ever actually goes into fruition, then we'll have to, of course, watch the process. Because this is not happening snap of a finger immediately. This is happening over 6 weeks. And who knows what happens during that period of time that either delays the first round of the ceasefire, makes the second round unfeasible. There's just so many unknown factors. So that's something that we'll, of course, be keeping an eye on. I want to tell you a little bit about, we're going to break here and tell you a little bit about what this show is, the Nick Craig Show. The show, of course, will be streaming weekday mornings starting at 7 a.m., around 7 a.m. each and every weekday morning. Show will be live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. We've got some folks watching this morning. Two Tones commenting over on Rumble this morning says, "Good to hear you again. Keep up the good work. Appreciate your comment and thanks for listening in this morning." But it's also available via podcast. So in your favorite podcast app, whatever it is, search for the Nick Craig Show. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Just search for the Nick Craig Show. There should be a subscribe or follow button. Click on that and you will get the show delivered to your phone every day. You can also listen online by visiting the website, which is over at nickcraig.com. You head on over there and you'll see once, of course, the show is streaming live right now. But once that is done with, you'll see that show pop up right here and you can listen to it through there. And you can send those comments streaming in live, whether you're on YouTube, Rumble, or X, or send email over at nick@nickcraig.com. That's nick@nickcraig.com. So appreciate you joining us here this morning. Well, last night was interesting. We are 5 days away from Monday, the inauguration of the 47th president of the United States in Donald Trump is happening. I'm actually looking forward. I'll be up in D.C. this weekend for the North Carolina inaugural ball. Very much looking forward to that. And the plan is that we'll be streaming live. We'll do the show Monday morning at 7 o'clock like normal, 7 a.m. I should say. And then I'll come back on around noon and we'll watch along on the inauguration and track everything that's going on there. So we're in the waning days of the Biden administration, which is phenomenal because the Biden administration has been a disaster. The Biden administration has miserably failed with seemingly everything that had been put in front of them, whether it was inflation, whether it was immigration, whether it was being a strong presence on the national stage dealing with war. You've got Russia and Ukraine. That's been going on for years. You've got 460 days of Israel and Hamas battling back and forth, innocent civilians being slaughtered. I mean, anything that this guy touches or has unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, fallen in his lap has been completely mismanaged. And so we had, as Trump would say, this little thing called an election back in November. And what happened? Well, you had obviously not Joe Biden on the ballot. He was mentally incapable of running and serving another term in the Oval Office, 4 more years as the commander-in-chief. That wasn't possible. So you had this last-minute substitution of his VP in Kamala Harris. So she was the last-minute sub in, like pulling the third-string quarterback off the bench, throwing him in there in the Super Bowl, hoping he can win. And she did. Trump handedly won the 2024 November election. 312 to 226 electoral votes. Obviously, that's the measure that we elect a president on. 270 gets you enough electoral votes to become the next president of the United States. But more importantly, I think, from an optical standpoint and really kind of getting down to the pulse, Trump won the popular vote, which is something that doesn't happen for Republicans. It's something that has not happened for in quite some time for Republicans, with 77 plus million votes compared to 75 million votes for Harris. And why am I doing this excessive lead-in? Because it shows how truly frustrated, annoyed, ticked off, upset the American people were and are with this current administration, even in its final days. So last night, around 8 o'clock, we had the President of the United States, for just a couple more days, Joe Biden, make his farewell address to the nation, where he was giving his final recap of everything that has gone on over the last 4 years. Now, of course, didn't cover the things in which he got hammered on: crime, inflation, border security, U.S. strength. None of those things were talked about by the president. But for 17 minutes, he sat in the Oval Office, flubbed and mumbled and his way through the entire thing. It wasn't immediately clear to me whether it was live or pre-recorded. My gut reaction says it was pre-recorded, because at one point at the end, and I think I've got the clip of it, he talks about his wife. He says, "Oh, my wife Jill Biden is with me today. Is with me today here in the Oval Office." He said today instead of tonight. That is not the greatest indicator, but I think it's live because he was kind of stammering over certain things and had to repeat himself because he would mispronounce a word, or this was just the best take that they got, so it was pre-recorded. I'm not exactly sure. So Joe Biden had plenty of things that he wanted to talk about. And number one, of course, is the most important issue. It's what the Democrats ran their entire 2024 campaign on. And that is democracy. Here's Joe Biden.
That democracy must defend and be defined and be imposed, moved, in every way possible. Our rights, our freedoms, our dreams. But we know the idea of America, our institution, our people, our values that uphold it, are constantly being tested. Ongoing debates about power and the exercise of power, about whether we lead by the example of our power or the power of our example, whether we show the courage to stand up to the abuse of power or we yield to it. After 50 years at the center of all of this, I know that believing in the idea of America means respecting the institutions that govern a free society: the presidency, the Congress, the courts, a free and independent press. Institutions that are rooted, not they just might not reflect the timeless words, but they echo the words of the Declaration of Independence.
Okay. Sure. Hold up institutions, all this other stuff. But I do have a question. You, of course, followed and kept track of the election, all of the lead up to that. And how many times did you hear that Donald Trump was a dictator? How many times did you hear that Trump was a threat to democracy? Probably more times than you would like. But that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what the narrative was, right? You can't elect Trump. We as the American people cannot elect Trump because it will be the end of democracy. He is a dictator. He is an authoritarian. He is a this. He is a that. And if you elect him, all of that crumbles. So I'm a little confused with how both of those things can be true. How can Trump be all of those things, yet Joe Biden says he believes in America and upholding those organizations? The institutions, excuse me, let me make sure I quote the president correctly. The institutions. And by the way, he throws the free press in there. That's not an institution. He'll get into that a little bit later on. He then transitioned into talking about how he is an American for all, or he's the president, rather, for all Americans. This is the president last night.
In the past 4 years, our democracy is held strong. And every day I've kept my commitment to be president for all Americans through one of the toughest periods in our nation's history. I've had a great partner in Vice President Kamala Harris. It's been the honor of my life to see the resilience of essential workers getting us through a once-in-a-century pandemic, the heroism of service members and first responders keeping us safe, the determination of advocates standing up for our rights and our freedoms, instead of losing their jobs to an economic crisis that we inherited millions of Americans.
Now, I just got to stop him right here. He's presumably talking about COVID. At least that's what I think he's talking about. Let me roll this back. Listen to what he says about the people not losing their jobs. I was very confused by this section.
Keeping us safe. The determination of advocates standing up for our rights and our freedoms, instead of losing their jobs to an economic crisis that we inherited, millions of Americans now have the dignity of work.
So it's a little confusing what he's trying to say. So I'm gonna do my best and give you my thought. He's talking about the economic crisis caused by COVID. He talks about people not succumbing and losing their jobs. But what about all the people that were fired from their workplace for not taking the vaccine? What about all of the military members that were dismissed because they refused to do that? It's unclear exactly what he's talking about. It's very unclear. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised or shocked that it's unclear, because this is just more of the rambling that unfortunately we have become accustomed to in this administration over the last 4 years.
Millions of entrepreneurs and companies creating new businesses and industries, hiring American workers, using American products. And together, we've launched a new era of American possibilities.
All right, so a new era of American possibilities. Okay. Great. Runaway inflation, housing crisis, whole bunch of issues, but new ushering in this new America that he claims. And Joe Biden does truly believe that he has had a profound impact on the American populace. And I can tell you why he thinks that. Not only does he say it, but he is already attempting to take credit for the successes, hopefully, of what the successes will be of the Trump administration. Already, Trump's not even in the Oval Office yet, and Joe Biden is already trying to take credit. Take a listen to this.
You know, it will take time to feel the full impact of all we've done together. But the seeds are planted, and they'll grow and they'll bloom for decades to come. At home, we've created nearly 17 million new jobs, more than any other single administration, a single term. More people have health care than ever before. And overseas, we've strengthened NATO. Ukraine is still free. And we pulled ahead of our competition with China. And so much more. I'm so proud of how much we've accomplished together for the American people. And I wish the incoming administration success, because I want America to succeed.
He wants America to succeed. And he, of course, is, you know, folks, he's done so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, he's done such an incredible job as the president that his administration was not reelected to a second term. His vice president got absolutely annihilated in the election in November. He's done such a good job that it's going to take some time for those lingering impacts to affect the American people. So I feel that it is safe to say this morning that anything good that happens during the Trump administration, we need to credit to Joe Biden. I think that's not only the accurate thing, but I think that's fair and just. So no, Trump will have no successes, folks, because you know, it's going to take some time for all of the wonderful work of the Biden administration to play out. I shouldn't be laughing about this. We should be thankful for Joe Biden. We should be thankful for his unwavering support and work of the American people. We should thank him for handling all of the crises that were in front of him, like dealing with inflation, dealing with immigration, dealing with fentanyl and opioids coming across the border. We should be, I can't express how thankful we should be as Americans to Joe Biden. The sacrifices that he made as a, 50-year public servant, has never had a real job outside of working in politics, being an elected official. Senate, VP, now president. It's gonna take some time, folks. We just we We just don't get it. you don't understand. You don't understand how good it is. You don't understand the amazing work that Joe Biden's done, and we won't. So I'm going to step out on a limb this morning and say that I'm so thankful for Joe Biden. I'm so thankful for all of his hard work. I'm not sure where we'd be as a nation without his incredible work. So it's already his credit. Anything Trump accomplishes, that's all Joe Biden. Old Joe, Scranton Joe, working hard behind the scenes. So coming up in 5 days, there will be a transition of power. There will be a new president, a new administration in the Oval Office. And Joe Biden talked about that transfer, that transition of power.
To ensure a peaceful and orderly transition of power, to ensure we lead by the power of our example, I have no doubt that America is in a position to continue to succeed. That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern.
I don't understand. America is in a place to succeed, but we just elected a dictator to the Oval Office. See, this is the issue with Democrats and their fear-mongering that they run on. How can those two things be the same? How can Trump be an authoritarian, a dictator? He's going to destroy the fabric of our nation. Yet Biden is saying, but I'm going to oversee the peaceful transition of power. And I believe that America, I believe in America. I don't understand. Maybe I'm too stupid. I mean, I'm not in the ritzy Democrat circles where these discussions are happening. So I'm too dumb. I'm just, you know, your regular middle-class average American. So I'm not smart enough to wrap my head around all of these great things that Joe Biden says are going to come. Yet we just elected the guy that's going to end democracy, right? Well, I'm playing this again because you need to listen to what he says and compare and contrast that to literally the entire presidential campaign.
To ensure a peaceful and orderly transition of power.
Why?
To ensure we lead by the power of our example. I have no doubt that America is in a position to continue to succeed. That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern.
So it's in a place to succeed, but there's great concern. Trump's an authoritarian. Trump's a dictator who's going to destroy America as it exists. Okay. We'll just play and assume that all of those things can somehow be true at the same time. Of course, they can't. If Trump is going to destroy the thread, the fabric of America, if he's going to rule with an iron fist, as Democrats claim, first of all, why the hell would you be the one looking over the peaceful transfer of power? You're saying that you're the one signing off on the destruction of America. And number two, how can you have confidence, faith, and hope for the prosperity of the future of this nation if that guy just got elected? Folks, this stuff doesn't make any sense because it's nonsense. And it's why you look at the election results and you can very clearly see that the American people are done buying into this nonsense. They're done with the fear-mongering. They're done with this kind of rhetoric from the Democrat Party because they know it's complete and total BS. They know that the fabric of America is not going to be destroyed. They know that the nation is not going to explode because Donald Trump is now in the Oval Office. He's already been there. Yet, that's what they campaigned on. In all their infinite wisdom, the Democrats, doing everything that they can to win, ran on a stupid, ridiculous, fear-mongering campaign that didn't work. My surprise, my shock. However, Joe Biden did say that he has a couple of warnings. A couple of warnings to the American people. We'll get into that in just a minute. You're listening to the Nick Craig Show. If you are interested in getting some show notes, you'll support the show and get some bonus content, including show notes and a monthly live stream, monthly kind of Zoom, Google Hangout that we're going to be doing. I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you will be able to sign up for that. There's a small monthly fee. We've got two different plans in which you can support the show, support the program that's happening Monday through Friday, starting at 7 a.m. here, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. They are the supporter and supporter plus plans. They're $5, $10 a month. If you're interested in supporting the show and getting some of that bonus content, including those daily show notes, I encourage you to head on over there. It's patreon.com/Nick Craig. So back to Joe Biden's address last night. He's got some warnings for the American people. Some things that he is incredibly concerned about going forward. Things that we need to be very mindful of. So let's hear from old Joe.
This is a dangerous concentration, and that's a dangerous concentration of power.
Let me just say for the people listening, what he's trying to say is the dangerous concentration of power. This is why I wasn't sure whether this thing was live or not. Because he talks about these deep threats, these deep concerns, and he can't spit out dangerous concentration of power.
This is a dangerous concentration, and that's a dangerous concentration of power.
Thanks, Joe.
In the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. And the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
Huh. Dangerous oligarchy? Of power and influence and wealth? Well, there's not been incredibly wealthy people calling the shots behind the scenes and puppeteering individuals for as long as America's exist. I don't even know what he's talking about. They claim Trump's like broke and a failed businessman. So he can't be talking about Trump. What is he talking about?
We see the consequences all across America. And we've seen it before. More than a century ago, but the American people stood up to the robber barons back then.
Oh, the robber barons.
Busted the trusts. They didn't punish the wealthy. Just made the wealthy play by the rules everybody else had to. Workers want rights to earn their fair share. You know, they were dealt into the deal and helped put us on a path to building the largest middle class, the most prosperous century any nation in the world has ever seen. And we've got to do that again. In the last 4 years, that is exactly what we've done.
Oh, really?
People should be able to make as much as they can, but play by the same rules. Pay their fair share of taxes. So much is at stake.
Ah, listen here, Jack. So much is at stake. Come on. You gotta listen, Jack. Old Scranton Joe here telling you that America's at stake. And again, going back to the great work that Joe Biden has done. He's done all of this to help the middle class. Meanwhile, here's a look at the inflation chart. 2021, 7%, 2022, 6.5%, 2023, 3.4%, and 2024, almost 3%, 2.9%. But it's so who is the modern day robber barons that Joe Biden is referencing? The wealthy paying their fair share. It has always pissed me off beyond belief when individuals like Joe Biden say this. And it's not just Joe. I mean, you could look at any senator, any Congress member that's been there for 30 years talking about the rich. Bernie Sanders is the best. The rich have to pay their fair share. They're not paying their fair share. You guys are in charge of the tax code. So if the wealthy aren't paying their fair share, that is solely incumbent on you to change. The American people don't vote or write the tax code. Congress handles the tax code. Congress is the one that deals with that. Not me. I don't get to choose what I pay in taxes. I mean, I could. That's a very dangerous game. You have one of those 6,700 IRS agents coming to your door with a midnight raid to pay your taxes. I don't control that. Joe Biden controlled that. Remember, he was in the Senate for like 35 years. He's the one that's in charge of the tax code. Bernie Sanders, the great senator from Vermont, Senator Bernard Sanders, he's the one that's in charge of the tax code. Elizabeth Warren is in charge of the tax code. Hillary Clinton was in charge of the tax code when she was in Congress. I'm not. You guys could have done this. I'll remind you, Joe Biden had complete and exclusive control of government for the first 2 years. He had the White House, he had the House, he had the Senate. Why didn't he change the tax code? If this is such a big deal, it's such an existential threat to our existence, it's the first warning that he's giving to the American people as we head into the Trump administration. Why the hell didn't you do anything about it? Is that a bridge too far? Am I speaking out of turn here? I'm failing with wrapping my head around the idea that you were in charge of this. You oversaw this for literally your entire life. You know, before he was in politics, he was what, a semi-truck driver, he was a school truck driver, he was a lifeguard, all of these amazing things he accomplished. But he was what, the youngest senator ever elected or something like that? Back in the 70s? Joe, you didn't do anything about it. You had the ability to do something, and you didn't. So that's the first warning, the first crisis that America's dealing with. The concentration of power, which I don't know what that means. Why? Because Republicans have control of the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office come Monday. And, of course, the wealthy have to pay their fair share. So that's warning number one. Again, we have to thank Joe for giving us and keeping. We'll have a hawkish eye on these things now because of Joe Biden. How about warning number two? Roll the tape.
Right now, the existential threat of climate change has never been clearer. Just look across the country, from California to North Carolina. That's why I signed the most significant climate and clean energy law ever in the history of the world, and the rest of the world is trying to model it now. It's working, creating jobs and industries of the future. Now, we've proven we don't have to choose between protecting the environment and growing the economy.
Yes, we do.
We're doing both.
No, we're not. But see, that's where Joe's dead wrong. Now, unfortunately, we do have to make that choice. Because Democrats, with their stupid, ridiculous Green New Deal agenda, want to make it so you can't buy gas-powered cars. You can no longer install gas furnaces or ranges in your house. We need to litter the American landscape with Chinese-made solar panels that, when they are no longer in service, get dumped into a landfill. All of that in the name of climate change. And yeah, the only reason there was an awful hurricane known as Helene in western North Carolina was because of climate change. Climate change, I guess, also caused the Santa Ana winds to be gusting at over 100 miles an hour in California 2 weeks ago, sparking the horrific fires out there. It's all climate change. And apparently every other nation is trying to follow in Joe Biden's footsteps. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure every other world leader is chomping at the bit to follow what Joe Biden's doing. Sure.
Powerful forces want to wield their unchecked influence to eliminate the steps we've taken.
Yes,
tackle the crime and crisis, to serve their own interest for power and profit. We must not be bullied into sacrificing the future of our children and our grandchildren. We must keep pushing forward and push faster. There's no time to waste.
There's no time to waste, folks. There's no time to waste. Our spinning globe that we call Earth, that we live on, the 365 revolutions it does around the sun every year. We don't have any time. The clock is running. We're out of time. What a ridiculous thing to mention. Because guess what? All that crap is gone. I mean, Democrats think it's bad now. Oh, just wait. All this Green New Deal, climate change BS is done. We're getting back to drilling American oil, having a surplus of American oil, plummeting gas prices for American citizens, and hopefully, just like we had at the end of the Trump administration, being a net exporter of oil and gas. Now, that's actually the path forward, not littering the U.S. landscape with Chinese-made solar panels or wind turbines off the eastern seaboard. That's really not the future of energy. Insufficient, unreliable energy is not the future. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Democrats. Sorry, Green New Deal crowd. It's not. You guys have had your shot. You guys have had your day in front of the judge on this. It's not. It's unreliable. It's expensive. It's incredibly destructive to the environment from both the mining and resource standpoint and then literally littering the U.S. landscape with hundreds of thousands of acres worth of solar panels, which is what you would need to do. It's not practical. But that doesn't matter for old Joe. Climate change. So let's see. Let's look at the threats that we've got so far. The concentration of power because Republicans absolutely sent the Democrats packing in November. The tax code that Joe Biden single-handedly could have done something about and chose not to for the last 50 years. And climate change. Those are the three existential threats that this country faces right now. And guess what? Joe Biden and the Democrats are beyond livid with individuals like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, who realize that their charade of, well, not Elon, but Mark, his charade of censorship, his charade of using social media under Section 230 protections to be a talking mouth, a talk piece for the Democrat Party is done. That's over with. And Joe Biden believes, well, that's a threat as well. What does the good president have to say about technology?
It's also clear that American leadership in technology is unparalleled, an unparalleled source of innovation that can transform lives. We see the same dangers of the concentration of technology, power, and wealth. You know, his farewell address, President Eisenhower spoke of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. He warned us then about, and I quote, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power, end of quote. Six decades later, I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation.
Oh my God, no! We're being buried under misinformation? You mean like that New York Post story with your son's, your deadbeat, degenerate loser son's laptop? You mean like that kind of misinformation, Joe? We're getting buried under that? Ah, to quote the great Michael Scott, how the turntables have turned. You guys were in charge of all of this stuff. You guys had social media completely under your control, and they are breaking loose. And it is putting to threat all of the garbage nonsense that the Democrats spew. And they can't handle it because mainstream media, and Joe, I think this is the clip where he talks about that. Mainstream media is on the out. All of these great institutions that Joe Biden talks about in the free press, all of these failing newspapers and cable news networks and traditional broadcast entities that can't make money anymore, because everything is shifting online, digital, podcasts like this show. They will no longer be able to have the exclusive control over what you do and don't hear. That's why Joe Biden is so ticked about this.
Buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth.
Did you see his eyes there? Social media is giving up on fact checking. Okay. You mean social media is giving up on carrying water for the Democrats? I think that's what he meant to say. See, they masqueraded as fact checking, But what he really means, what he's really getting to the root of, is that these social media outlets, it started with X. It now has transitioned into Facebook. You saw, maybe you didn't see, Mark Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan last week talking about fact-checking. I caught an interesting post this morning. It says it was posted on X, and it we'll dive into this hopefully tomorrow morning. We can take a look at this, but it's from Fortune magazine. This is what Fortune magazine says. Mark Zuckerberg warns Meta, aka Facebook, warns their staff of a quote intense year ahead as he announces low performers will be cut. Uh-oh. That's not good. It's going to be a big issue for the Democrats when Facebook, it's already happened with X, are no longer going to be fact-checking the American people. That's not going to be a good situation for the Democrats because it will once again mean that they won't be able to use these outlets of which they strong-armed you with their use of the federal government into essentially doing their bidding. That won't be happening anymore. More from Joe Biden on the technology here and the threat that fact-checkers disappearing is, right? Because, oh my God, if we don't have Facebook fact-checking, how am I going to know what's real? I won't have any idea. I'm going to be lost.
Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable.
Oh, yes.
To protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
Your guys' charade is up. It's folks, it's really as simple as that. The Democrats' exclusive and complete control on social media outlets, strong-arming with the federal government to force them into publishing content and not publishing other content, aka the Hunter Biden laptop, which we are all familiar with now, is over. And they have absolutely no way to combat that. They have no way to now use social media as their mouthpiece to disseminate actual misinformation. And that's terrifying for them. And I get it. It's been a very powerful tool for the left to wield. Censoring, shadow banning, blocking, removing content that is deemed misinformation. It's been incredibly influential and powerful for the left. And that is evaporating in front of their very eyes. And so now the threat is this tech oligarchy, aka Elon Musk and seemingly Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook/Meta. By the way, I saw this morning that the TikTok CEO is set to be at Trump's inauguration. That ought to be real interesting. If you want access to additional content, bonus content, daily show notes, and more, I encourage you to check out the show on Patreon, patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can subscribe over there. You'll get access to the daily show notes, all the articles and stories we ran through, plus some bonus content, including a monthly live stream. Looking forward to bringing some additional content on over there. You can support the show financially and keep it up and running by heading on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can also head to nickcraig.com and click on the Patreon tab there. In wrapping up some of our comments here from Joe Biden, he's got just a couple more, including some reforms. Again, this is a guy that's been in public office for his entire life. Some reforms that he believes need to be dealt with. Take a listen.
We must reform the tax code, not by giving the biggest tax cuts to billionaires, but by making them begin to pay their fair share. We need to get dark money. That's that hidden funding behind too many campaign contributions. We need to get it out of our politics. We need to enact an 18-year time limit, term limit, time and term, for the strongest ethics reform and the strongest ethics reforms for our Supreme Court. We need to ban members of Congress from trading stock while they're in the Congress. We need to amend the Constitution to make clear that no president is immune from crimes that he or she commits while in office. The president's power is not limited. It's not absolute, and it shouldn't be.
We. All right, we need to do this. We need to do that. No, Biden, you were the guy. You had control of all of Congress, the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office from 2020 until 2022. If these things are so important, these reforms are so instrumental to our future as Americans, to our future growth, why didn't you do them? Why is that not a fair question to ask? Why is it not something that we can mention? If this stuff is so important, like the tax code, I already went into that. I'm not going to rehash it. Supreme Court reform. Ah, yes. They don't like the fact that conservatives have control of the courts. Congress members trading stock. Some of those things I agree with. But if they were so important, why weren't they done over the last 4 years? And it's very simple. Because these issues that the Democrats run on, one of the big ones, of course, is the wealthy paying their fair share. Because, you know, rich people are evil. The destruction of our country is because of anybody that's got any wealth. Anybody that's made any money for themselves. Anybody that's done good for themselves. Started a small business. Turned that small business into multiple small businesses and generated wealth. Maybe generational wealth for them and their family. Those people are evil. Those people are trying to destroy America. And all of your woes, sky-high inflation, a wide-open border, all of those things are caused by those wealthy people. Yet Joe Biden didn't bother to do anything about it when he was in charge. Okay, thanks, Joe. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, the wrap. We're going to tie a nice little bow on the Joe Biden administration. Take a listen.
My eternal thanks to you, the American people. After 50 years of public service, I give you my word. I still believe in the idea for which this nation stands. A nation where the strength of our institutions and the character of our people matter and must endure. Now it's your turn to stand guard. May you all be the keeper of the flame. May you keep the faith. I love America. You love it too. God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you for this great honor.
And that's it. That's all she wrote. A miserable, failed administration. And that's the end of it. 5 days from now, it will be over. 5 days from now, we will hopefully start getting back to sanity in this country. 5 days from now, we will hopefully be getting back to actually supporting the American middle class. Again, Joe Biden claims he cares about all this stuff. Claims it's so important. Claims that these are the things that he cares about so much. Yet, didn't do any of them. Didn't push any of them forward. Just allowed the status quo to continue. Allowed the same sorry old nonsense from the left to continue. What a joke. And just a disingenuous, awful ending of the administration. Admitted no fault. Admitted no responsibility for anything that has gone on over the last couple of years. It's all hunky-dory, I guess. No issues, no problems. And we've got to watch out for the concentration of power, rich people that are destroying the country, climate change. and Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg running X and Facebook. That's the grand takeaway from the 17 minutes that Joe Biden mentioned last night. Not good. Maybe wrongly so, I expected things to be a little bit different. I was hopeful that maybe we'd have a little inward reflection from Biden and his team, talking about how things weren't perfect, but that just didn't happen. It just didn't happen at all. Well, we are coming into the new administration. Trump set to be sworn in coming up here in just a couple of days. Want to encourage you to follow the show. Actually, follow me on X. I'm at Nicholas M. Craig on X, a.k.a. Twitter. The show streams live there. Weekday morning starting at 7 o'clock. And also, you'll keep up with news throughout the day, video clips, all of that fun stuff over on X, x.com, or at Nicholas M. Craig. We'll grab a quick break here. We'll be joined by U.S. Senator Ted Budd just a couple of days ahead of the Trump inauguration. We'll have that coming up here in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show on a Thursday morning. Great to have you here streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Actually, some issues with the YouTube this morning. We'll have that corrected for tomorrow morning. Want to remind you that the show is available 24/7 via podcast in your favorite podcast app. Just search for The Nick Craig Show. It'll pop up. You'll get that new show delivered probably between 8:30, 9 o'clock every weekday morning. And you can also listen online by visiting nickcraig.com. So as I mentioned, we are just a couple of days out from the new administration being sworn in, thank God. And with that, there's obviously a lot of pressure on the federal government, the president himself and Trump, Congress, House, and the Senate to get things rolling, right? The American people elected these individuals, gave them a mandate coming up or in November to handle the country going forward. And so we're joined this morning by Ted Budd right here on The Nick Craig Show. Pleasure to be joined this morning on The Nick Craig Show by U.S. Senator Ted Budd, just a couple of days ahead of the inauguration of the 47th president of the United States in Donald Trump. Senator Budd, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us. An exciting day coming up on Monday. But after that's all said and done, the American people is looking for the government to get to work for them. What are some of those things that you're looking forward to with the new administration coming in?
Nick, great to be back with you, and congrats on the podcast. Wow, boy, we have worked hard to get to this moment for Monday, the 20th. And whatever the weather's going to be, we're very optimistic. A week or so ago, we met all senators with President Trump and talked about how we can be most helpful to get his agenda rolling. And the first thing we want to do is something we're actually working on today before he's even sworn in. We're having our hearings for some of his nominees. We'll have Pete Hegseth, then some of the others, depending on what committee we're on. So there is a whole slew, I think 10 or 15 different hearings this week. And so we'll get these rolling. And plus, when we're not in these public hearings, we're having the private pre-meetings with these different nominees. So getting them confirmed is what helps get his agenda rolling. So and we want to make sure to clear the obstructions, get them in place, and start the agenda. So very optimistic about this, very encouraged. And, he was elected to shake things up. People are tired of business as usual. And they've had 4 years of that, being reminded of what the leftist agenda is about under Joe Biden, and they're ready to stop that. I think what we're going to see is about 100 different executive orders signed shortly after the swearing in at noon. So 1, 2 o'clock, keep watching the rest of the day after the ceremony, because there's going to be more to come with these initial executive orders that he's going to be signing.
Let me touch on something you just mentioned. Obviously, you were not on the ballot back in November, but do you see what happened with Republicans taking control of the Senate by way larger margins than they were supposed to? A slimmer majority in the House than hoped, but still a majority. And of course, Trump winning the White House. Do you truly see that as a mandate set by the American people for their elected officials in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, I do. Remember, you got 435 seats that are up in the House at any given time. And so it's going to be a razor's edge for Mike Johnson as Speaker over there. But in the House or in the Senate, we have good margins. And President Trump not only winning by 312 to 200 and some electoral votes, you also have him winning the popular vote. So it's, I think that's a very big mandate. So people are definitely on board with his agenda. They're tired of what we saw under Joe Biden. And I think people are ready to get going. Now, we have to be careful with what we do in the House. And that's why you're hearing these debates about, is it going to be one big bill or two different bills? And I think we're going to know in the next day or so what that's going to be. And, you know, that initiates that because that's tax and dollar related, that's going to start with the House and come this way. So we're looking to see in the next several days how that's going to happen. And that's one of the biggest things, because you have the Trump tax cuts of 2017, which was a huge accomplishment in his first administration. And that's going to expire at the end of the year. And that would be a multi-trillion dollar tax hike if that's allowed to happen. And we don't want that to happen.
Localizing this to North Carolina, one of the big issues that folks are dealing with, and this deals with both the state and federal government, of course, continues to be hurricane relief in the western half of the state. You've been beating the drum repeatedly on this about how the federal government and or state government needs to step in. Can you tell folks that are listening in western North Carolina this morning, or statewide in the eastern half of the state that deal with hurricanes every summer, every fall, is the federal government and our elected officials like yourself going to be there in the long term while this recovery takes place?
Yeah, this is not about news coverage. Again, that's what people's greatest fear is. There's 25 western counties that were affected by this. And when I'm out there, they always say, do not forget us, please. And I'm just letting you know that we're not. We've been back there. Even when news coverage moves on to some other topic in the world, we're focused on Western North Carolina and getting it up and running and getting it back strong again, especially in these winter months, because it's so hard. We even saw hotels potentially expiring, these vouchers from FEMA that were expiring. We're pounding on their door saying, please do not let these expire. I worked with Representative Pat Harrigan to demand that FEMA extend that for longer. They did. They extended it till there was an extension until January 14th, but then there was an extension. We got it into the Trump administration, which is January 25th. So we kept pushing it. So these people need more time. And we're working on these cases. Senator Tillis is working on these as well. So again, I don't know what the news is doing, but I can tell you that we are working on this. The whole Republican North Carolina delegation, both of us as senators, and working in conjunction with the state representatives to make sure that they have what they need.
U.S. Senator Ted Budd joins us on the Nick Craig Show this morning. Trump is a disruptor. There's no question about that. That's his whole political brand. But then things get practical. We're talking about governance here. How quickly do you think it will take for some of these things to actually shake up, like you mentioned, when you look at administrations like FEMA that has had a whole bunch of scrutiny put on them, not only for the disasters in Western North Carolina, but some of the same things taking place in Los Angeles with those wildfires? How long until the American people can actually start grasping and touching some of these changes that are going to take place, hopefully at the federal level?
It's a great question. Well, it's already happening. You've seen the Trump effect internationally with other leaders around the world coming to Mar-a-Lago. You've seen state governments begin to change their game, those that would be opposed to him. We're going to have new administrations when it comes to FEMA because folks are angry. They're confused. We're going to be stronger on the world stage. We're going to be better at energy. We've got to do something on permitting. When it comes to whether it's rebuilding California after the wildfires or whether it's rebuilding Western North Carolina, which is my main focus. And again, we've got to get government out of the way. And I think people are going to start seeing that change immediately.
When you look at some of the other things that you have been talking about since you've been up in Washington, D.C., one of the big issues continues to be border security. It was a huge issue for American voters when they made their way to voting locations in November of last year. I suspect that's probably going to flip over on a dime.
Well, we saw just recently the very first vote that we took last week in the Senate was on the Lake and Riley Act. There was a version from the House and version from the Senate, but this is about preventing tragedies. And then we're going to have some amendments to this that are actually other good bills that keep this focused on border security. So there were two issues about last election on November 5th of last year. And that was people felt that things were unaffordable and that they were unsafe. Unsafe maybe internationally with craziness going on and American weakness, or it may mean when you're trying to walk after dark across the grocery store parking lot and you feel unsafe because of criminals, or you feel that your children are unsafe because of fentanyl and different risks out there. All these things were because of a weak administration that's outgoing right now with the Biden administration. And we're going after the safety issue when we deal with the border. And that's why my bill that I worked on with Senator Katie Britt, the Lake and Riley Act, was the very first vote of the Senate.
When we look at some of the things that you deal with day in and day out, a lot of that is constituent services, individuals interfacing with the federal government. Tell folks kind of what that is and how they get in touch with your office if they're having issues.
Yeah, I would immediately jump on the web, go to bud.senate.gov, B-U-D-D.senate.gov, and you've got our phone numbers. We've got four offices, including one there in Wilmington. We want to be easy to get in touch with, and we can help you with any interface that you have with the federal government that is not working as you think it should. If you're a veteran, if you're dealing with the IRS, Social Security, you name it, if you're having challenges with the federal government, please reach out to our office. There's a form you can fill out. Or you can pick up the phone and call us. Either way, we'd be glad to assist you in any way where you engage with the federal government. Or if you want to come up here and see us in Washington, D.C., that's your starting place right there, just bud.senate.gov.
U.S. Senator Ted Budd, thank you so much for the time this morning. It's greatly appreciated.
Thanks so much. Take care.
That's U.S. Senator Ted Budd joining us exclusively this morning on the Nick Craig Show. Appreciate his time. Obviously very busy up in Washington, D.C. over the last couple of days. It continues this morning as more Trump cabinet picks and appointees make their way in front of various congressional, in this case the Senate, congressional groups. And, of course, go through the process of, well, getting confirmed. Those votes will begin to start taking place as we head into the early parts of next week. Well, that's going to do it for this morning. Again, I can't thank everybody enough for checking out the show after a six-month hiatus here, talking about some of the issues of the day. Just a little bit of housekeeping. The show is going to be covering, and if you look at the description of the podcast, the ongoings in Wilmington. Still going to be talking about that. I know we didn't get into that this morning. Busy national news morning. But covering what's going on in Wilmington, we'll be chatting with our elected officials and leaders. Tomorrow morning, for example, we'll be looking at a Wilmington social district that's going to be coming forward. A video published online by Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell last week. We'll dive into that tomorrow morning. Plus, we'll take a look at some other news, including some beach renourishment issues down at Curie Beach. We'll be diving into the statewide news as well, including the continued race for North Carolina Supreme Court, tracking that day in and day out between Republican Jefferson Griffin and Democrat Allison Riggs. That's a high contest. And of course, we are coming ever closer to the Trump administration being sworn in, so we'll have all of that coverage. Again, encourage you to support the show if you are so inclined to do so. If you feel you're getting some value out of the show, you can support it and get access to some bonus content by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig, a monthly live stream, daily show notes, all of that available at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank you enough again for joining us here this morning. It is greatly appreciated. We will be back tomorrow morning streaming live here on YouTube, X, and Rumble. You can check out the podcast 24/7 by visiting the website. It's nickcraig.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We're back tomorrow morning at 7 right here on the Nick Craig Show.